it's not working out, you're consumed by this like a lion. Consumed by the weapons forming. Consumed by the infertile, dry place. Consumed by it's been so long. Consumed by the lameness. Consumed by the bondage. Consumed by the yokes of the enemy, because it's been so long. Whether you be an infertile person, because we all have levels in life where we could produce better, be better. Whether you have received the promise of Isaac or even have an Ishmael, whether you are there or not, there is a laugh that happens when God confirms you're gonna get your promise. It's over. Your suffering is almost over. This time next year, you're gonna get up out of this lame spot right now. And this time next year, we're going to see the production of your fruit. If you believe it, stand up. This time next year, I'm going to produce the fruit God promised me. This time next year, I'm going to have what thus saith the Lord. This time next year, I will not be...
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
That is above every name. Jesus, give it to me.
Jesus.
Jesus. That's it. Jesus. Y'all can help me. Jesus. There's just something about that name. He's my master, savior, and he Jesus, just like a fragrance after a rain. Oh, Mama Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus, let all heaven and earth, let her proclaim that kings and kingdoms, they shall all pass away, but there's something quiet, you know that, about that name. Oh, my Jesus. Jesus. Something. Sometimes I wonder what it is about that name. He's my master. He's my savior. And he's Jesus. Just like a fragrance after a rain. Oh, my Jesus. Jesus. Kings and kingdoms, they shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. I declare something about that name. Oh, yes, there is something. Cancer survivors, you know that there is something. Because cancer has to obey the name of Jesus. There is something. Anybody here suffer with high blood pressure, low blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, you know that there is something about the name of Jesus. Praise God that will have that sugar diabetes and that high diabetes, that low blood or that high blood or that no blood has to remove itself in the name of Jesus. There is something. Oh Lord, sometimes when our children get beside themselves, there is something. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't have to call the police officer. Sometimes you don't have to call the truancy man. Praise God. Try calling Jesus. There is something about that name. There is something about that name. Amen. Now, you know, I wanted to sing a piece of another song. I know most of the choir. Maybe even some of y'all don't know. But I know Brother Lionel will be able to pick me up. And And I was a young boy singing quartet. That was a song that we used to sing. I'm going to see if he can pick me up now. It went like this. It won't be long. It said, up above my head, I hear the music in the air. Anybody got that? Up above my head, I hear the music in the air. Up above my head, I hear the music in the air. Truly do believe, I truly do believe that there's a heaven somewhere. Have you ever heard that song? And then when those quartet guys used to have the guys that would be able to sing that falsetto, and they'll say, up above my head, I hear the music in the air. Up above my head, I hear the music in the air. Up above my head, I hear the music in the air. And I really do believe, I truly do believe that there's a heaven somewhere. Oh, I remember back in my days, I used to can hit that. But I want you all, as I'm looking at the time, I don't want to keep us long. I want you to turn to a very familiar story. So I'm going to read the whole pericope, John chapter 5. And I want to read all the way through. Verse 16, John chapter 5. Now, we'll just read it in the King James. I was going to read it twice, but we'll read it in the King James. Oh, Lord, I got to take them off. Let's see. Look what this word says. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. Come on. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Afterwards, Jesus finds him in the temple. At least he had enough sense to go to the way he should be going. And said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I'm just going to read it. I'll finish that. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. In other words, he's gotten a little smarter than what they answered when they asked him at first. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. That text suggests a question to us, especially if we look at the verse where Jesus asking, wilt thou be made whole? And the question is this: do you really want to be changed? Do you really want to be changed? Turn to the person to your left or to your right. If you ain't sitting by nobody, if they're away from you, sort of look at them and ask them the question so that they'll let your lips are moving. Do you really want to be changed? Let me put these on now. You see, we live in a world that is changing constantly. And I think that we all recognize within ourselves the need for change. If I were to ask some of these young folk today, what you think about some of these old folk today, you know what they will say? They need to change their ways. Yet, we also recognize that the change we need is often hard to achieve. You see, in our text today, there is a very important story about change. This is a very important story. You see, Jesus had gone up from Cana of Galilee. Now, everybody know why he was in Cana and what he did in Cana. He performed the first miracle, praise God, at Cana. And thank God, where he had come to celebrate one of the religious feast days. Bible doesn't tell us what day it was, but praise God, they went to celebrate a feast day. And while that feast day, praise God, was going on, it was worthy to note that Jesus, being the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, would enter this city through the sheep gate. That's important, folk. That's important. Why? Why? Because the entrance of the city through the sheep gate was the gate which people brought their sheep to the temple to be sacrificed. So what Jesus was symbolizing when he went through the sheep's gate, that he was going to be the final and ultimate sacrifice for each and every last one of us. Praise God. And once inside the city, you know, he went to the city, and that was a pool called Bethesda, which in its name was the house of what? Mercy. And all around the pool, there were impotent folk. There were folk who were sick. Praise God. They were sick of all kinds of diseases. Praise God. And they and the reason why they were there, because there was a legend. Oh, y'all heard me read it just now. There was a legend that during a certain season, that an angel would come and stir up the water. And whosoever it is that jumped in first, praise God, what did the Bible say? They were healed. Am I right? Isn't that what that thing said? In other words, praise God, many of those people during that time, praise God, their last hope was what? Upon some man-made pool. And the sad thing about that today, my brothers and my sisters, is that we have hope right at our fingertips. Praise God, that is who is called Jesus. But how many times would we call upon him before we go to some type of man-made objects? We got Jesus right at our fingertips. So we see Jesus moves in the midst of all of these sick folk. But Jesus does not indiscriminately heal anyone at the pool at that time. But as he moved around the blind, among the lame, praise God, he is drawn to this one particular man who had been ill for 38 years. You see, the Bible does not tell us the nature of this man's disease, other than the fact, whatever it was, it rendered him incapable of walking. It does not tell us why Jesus, being among so many sick folk, chose this man. Perhaps we could say that, I feel some preach coming on already and I'm trying to hold it. Perhaps he was saying that this man had been here for 38 years and being lamed, praise God, with a disease that he could not walk, that his possibility of ever getting into the pool was slim to none. Can y'all just imagine how this man, feeling he 38 years, how long is 38 years, y'all? 38 years, that's a long time. So that means that for 38 years, the pool was being troubled. That doesn't mean that it was just being troubled one time a year. It said that there was a certain season, so that season may have been three times a year. It could have been four times a year. It could have been five times a year. But praise God, but however many times it was, this man, because he was lame and could not walk, his possibility of ever being made whole, can I use the vernacular of the world, it was slim to none. So Jesus, we don't know if this is the reason why Jesus honed in on him. But one thing we do know, praise God, that this man didn't sought out Jesus. Oh man, oh Lord, hallelujah. He did not sought out Jesus, neither did he know who Jesus was. Because if you look at that 13th verse, praise, it lets us know that this man did not even know who Jesus was. You see, Jesus encountered him and asked him what most of y'all would say was a very strange question. Y'all don't mind if I take this coat off. I don't know if I'm getting a fever or not, but I'm getting hot, but I'm not going to stop. Amen. He asked him a strange question. He said, Wilt thou be made whole? In other words, do you want to get well? Praise God. Do you really want to be changed? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever it is you're going through, do you really want to be changed? You see, as we look at this text and we ponder this question, do you really want to be changed? There are three things I want us to see this morning regarding this question. First of all, if you want to be changed, we must, if we want to be changed, we must decide if we really want to be changed. I say that for this reason, because when Jesus saw him lie and he knew that he had been there for a very long time in that case, look what he said unto him. He said, wilt thou be made whole? You see, this seems to be a crazy question. But can I say something to you? God has never asked a foolish question. The reason he asked this question, praise God, it's obvious to me that he was trying to see where this man was. Praise God. He wanted to see, praise God, if this man really wanted to be changed. Now, the reason why I say all that, I'm gonna back it up. Praise God. He was asking this very, what I would call, serious question, because it is entirely possible that this man did not really want it to be made whole. Oh, yeah. There's a possibility. Praise God. Let me build my case. Can I build a case? Look at it. Praise God. For 38 years, this man had been a beggar. Praise God. He lived by and on the pity of other people. And if he is healed, praise God, he would lose all of this. Amen. Jesus did not look, praise God, at him and ask him, do you want any food or do you want any money? Because it was obvious, praise God, being at 38 years, he obviously had somebody that was taking care of his food requirement. Somebody was obviously taking care of his clothes, because he was not naked. Jesus did not ask him, praise God, if he wanted any money, did he? Praise God. No doubt, praise God, he had a few coins in his pocket. Praise God. He just could not walk, meaning that he could not go out and do any physical work for himself. Amen. Now, I have to say that, because today's, we could say that has been taken care of, because we got a whole bunch of folks who can't walk, but they can work. Praise God, because there have been some things that made for them, but that's due to change. But back in those days, they didn't have that. Amen. Praise God. But look at it. No doubt, praise God, he had a few coins. He just was not able to walk, which means that he could not work. And since he could not work, perhaps his begging was profitable. Praise God. It was bringing in just enough money that he had food to eat and clothes to put on his back. You see, by being healed, this man would be venturing out into an unknown. He would lose all the present securities. He would have to be responsible for himself. Don't you know that there are some folk who don't want to have any responsibility whatsoever? Amen. It appalls me sometimes when I'm going to and from Walmart and I see the various people that's on the side of the road as you turn in, and they know how to position themselves. They position themselves as you turn in and as you come out, and all of them got their little signs. And guess what? When I look at them, praise God, don't look like not one of them missed a meal. And when I look at them, it doesn't look like they need any clothes. And when I look at them, praise God, and I'll go right down the street, when I see a big old sign out there saying help wanted, it lets me know whether or not they really want that situations to change.